everyone. Very, very good to be together this morning once again. Over the past couple of weeks, what we've been looking at is the call Jesus has on our lives and how he gives us that call, how he makes that call to us, reaches out for us. And we've seen a few different things. And one of them is that the ancient nation of Israel was carried off, as you will recall, into Babylon. They're just taken out of their houses, the city of Jerusalem destroyed and everything else, and there they are in Babylon and for 70 years. And God, as you will recall, told them, seek the blessing of the city. And we saw that one of the calls upon us is to seek the blessing of the area where we are around. And we've also seen how important that is as a kind of a parallel with ancient Israel, in that the church has really lost its position of significance in our society as it used to have. I mean, it's not insignificant, but it does not have the kind of influence that used to be the case. And that means that we are called more deeply into seeking the welfare of the communities where we are. Isn't that kind of interesting? The lower the influence we have, the higher the call we seek the blessing in that area. That's the way that it works. We've also seen that Jesus will call us into following him in the middle of what we do, even what we do best. And it's not that you have to follow Jesus, give up everything you love, turn your back on your life, move ahead. That is such a rare kind of occurrence. And we saw that last time when he called the two apostles, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they were fishing. they loved fishing. And we'll see a little more of that today as well. In fact, what we'll see today is that in those general calls to seek the welfare of where we are, as well as to follow Jesus, have a lifestyle following him. I like to call that discipleship. I know some of you don't, but following Jesus is good. Some of you follow others on Facebook or follow others on Twitter. I suggest take your life and follow Jesus. It's very culturally apropos. Just go ahead and do that. And we'll unpack that too as we go on. One other thing he calls us to, which is somewhat general still, it's on every Christian, every person, is to spread the kingdom of God. That's a call that you and I have from the beginning. In fact, in the Episcopal Church, that is one of the primary and foundational ways that we describe what it is to follow Jesus. And in our prayer book, our Book of Common Prayer, which we reprint the significant parts we're going to use in the bulletin. However, the prayer book puts into order the way the Episcopal Church is. In there it says the duty of all Christians is to come together week by week for corporate worship, to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? That's what the Episcopal Church does. That's what separates us from the rest of the world and unites us with other Christians. So the question is, how would we do that? How do we go ahead and take those steps? And particularly, work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God, since that is the basic call upon our lives. And when we're called, that's one of the things we are called to. Now what's very, very interesting, well, this is all very interesting, I think, but what's very interesting that I want to point out to you right now is the very last verse of the gospel reading today. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. That is another picture of what it is for us to spread the kingdom of God, to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom, or the extension of the kingdom, if you like. When we are following Jesus, which is another way of saying the basic call in our lives, when we are following him, we are spreading the kingdom of God. And the steps we take are lifestyle steps, working, praying, and giving. We adopt that lifestyle, which was the lifestyle of Jesus, who worked and prayed and gave for the spread of the kingdom. So the question is, what exactly did he work, pray, and give that resulted in the spread of the kingdom? And the reason that question is so fundamentally important to us is that that would be the shape of our lives individually and our lives together. Any life that follows Jesus is going to take a shape of a lifestyle that results in the spread of the kingdom of God. So to follow him, that means there's certain things we do and certain results we look for. And all those things we do and all those results we look for are consistent with who we are and what we love to do. I felt like I was at home for a minute. That I'd be very happy to say that once again. Everything that we do, what we're called into, the lifestyle and the study of the kingdom of God, is consistent with who we are and what we love to do. Entirely consistent with that. What happens sometimes is that we get some conviction. And the conviction would be about the instances, the times, the patterns in our life that step away from who we are and what we love to do. That's another way of saying sin. And we have some conviction about that. And what Jesus wants to do is to bring us back onto the course for which we were created, which is to live a lifestyle that in which we work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? Well, praying for the extension of the kingdom of God so that that spread is consistent, or at least happens, is like this. That's where we look once again to ancient Israel in Babylon, where Jesus was present all the time anyway. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope and for a future. Therefore, seek the welfare of this city. Which, by the way, it wasn't only that they were uncomfortable, they hated it. They just absolutely hated it. They wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. But God says, no, this is going to be fine, be absolutely fine. Seek the welfare of the city. So what is one of the ways they did that? It was by praying. And in the exile, when they are in Babylon, they're not in Jerusalem, and their ability to worship in the way that they had been worshiping was now taken away because the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. I mean, they couldn't get to it. There was no temple worship. The sacrifices that were outlined in the law of Moses could not be made, which completely undermined their habit and tradition of worship. So what did they do? They still needed to worship. They're called to worship. Well, that's where the synagogue was born, in exile. And in the synagogue, you have prayers and a teaching and some songs. And probably an offering. Much like what we do when it's morning prayer or evening prayer in our own tradition. Readings, a teaching, songs, those kinds of things. That's what they did. As that built up, as the synagogue took form, and they began going to the synagogue, on the Sabbath, one of the things they prayed for was the welfare of the city in which they were now imprisoned. Because God had asked them to do it. That's one of the keys to prayer. You pray what God asks you to pray. You don't have to make it up and hope that he thinks it's all right. You pray what he asks you to pray. And when you're fasting, you pray what he asks you to pray while you're not eating. It's a fairly simple procedure to do that. You just connect with God. What do you want me to pray for? Things come to mind, bring them to God. That's what they did. God had directed them to pray for the welfare of the city. So they began doing that. That's what we would do. We would pray for the welfare of what is around us, our surroundings, our context, whatever seems the surroundings for you. You begin praying for the welfare of that particular circle. And the kingdom of God spreads that way. That's one of the ways that it happens. Now, how might that happen? You begin getting into the position yourself by that prayer where you do see the blessing of God opening up. You're in the position to see it. What I'm suggesting is, if you were not praying for the welfare of the circumstance that you're in, the circle you're in, you just may not catch the blessing of God as it's coming. But when you're praying for it and asking for it, what you're doing is you're looking right at the middle of it so that you can catch what's going on, and you may even get some more direction from God as to how that might proceed. That's how the blessing of God just spreads. Now, I want you to notice also that Jesus, he was praying for the blessing of Capernaum. It was not his home. He was kind of in his area, but it was not the center of his activity. But here he was, went to the synagogue. It was the Sabbath day. And that in itself is an act of beginning to pray for the blessing of that city, just as the Jews did in Babylon. Went to the synagogue to pray for the blessing of that city. So there he is, and he's beginning to do that. He also begins to work for the welfare and blessing of that city and the spread of the kingdom. And what happens is a demon-possessed person begins doing what he does. You're crying out. And Jesus releases that person from that demon possession. That is an extension of the kingdom of God. That is freedom from the bondage of Satan. That is coming out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's just one way that it happens. And he went ahead and did that. Now, however you imagine or picture that happening, the fact is it happened. And it can happen in all different kinds of ways. But there it is. There it is. Light proceeded forth. That's the work that Jesus did. We would work in similar ways. In fact, every time you care for the poor, feed the hungry, pray for the sick, help out somebody else, have a reconciliation in a relationship, whatever it may be, the kingdom of God is extending. And as you know, all of that takes work. That is work that we do. And that extends the kingdom of God. What Jesus is asking of us is that we would do that in a manner that we are intentionally and purposely committed to the spread of the kingdom. That becomes our lifestyle. The work that we do is for that extension to occur. So we've seen Jesus pray. We've seen him work. He also gave. He gave for the extension of the kingdom. And there's two levels in which he gave. And in this particular story, what we see is he gave his authority so that this person would be set free. He also gave his authority so that the gathered congregation there in Capernaum would see the presence of the kingdom of God. He was not bringing out the whiteboard or the PowerPoint or the slideshow, making points along the way for people to say, oh, how about that? Or I didn't know that. And a lot of times that doesn't make any difference. Remember Ed McMahon? I did not know that. And it made no difference. I know some of you don't remember Ed McMahon. That's all right. Ask somebody later. It's just, those intellectual points are not the process of teaching that Jesus gave here. What he gave was a manifestation, if you will, of the kingdom of God. The authority that came as he was teaching, began to displace any darkness that was there. Just displace it. And off this man goes now in freedom. And everyone around, it says, was amazed. Have you ever been amazed at points on a whiteboard? No. I mean, they could be very interesting, but amazed? Astonished? arrested? That's what happened with the teaching of Jesus here. And that was what he did. That's how he gave. Now what he does is give us a similar authority. And not all of us would teach in such a way. Very few people do. However, we have the authority to keep walking forward so that the light of the kingdom of God is actually extended wherever you go. You are the light of the world. Jesus gave you that light. As you walk in that light, give yourself over to that light, move into the life of Christ as deeply as you can, then what happens is, around you, the kingdom is extended in one way or another. And you just keep praying for the welfare of that circumstance around you, and you're in the position to see how that works, how that happens. Now, what you can do is to be asking God to show you that. And as I've shared with you many, many times, if God is tapping you on the shoulder, if there's something that keeps occurring to you, if you have a dream over and over again, of a thought that shoots through your mind and you know it wasn't you, something, anything like that, that's God tapping you on the shoulder, and it's time to ask, what are you telling me? And then what step do you want me to take? That is working, praying, and giving for the extension of the kingdom of God. Is following Jesus on that very basic level. So I want to give you a means this morning of how you might carry that forward in your life this week, how it might open up some windows for you to see a little further, and that is to check your expectations. The expectations that you have. It's just as you're going along. And if you want, you could even make two lists. You could write them down as you catch them. As you go along and you see, I expect this to happen, I expect that to happen, are the expectations for your welfare or the welfare of others? And you can make a list. Now, your welfare is very important. If you run out of welfare, you've run out of an ability to operate probably or to function. So, but what you want is a list where there's a balance. What are you doing so that you can follow Jesus? That would be your welfare. And then when you follow Jesus, what happens? That's the other list, the expectations for others. You begin seeing what Jesus is doing in other people's lives. Now, if you were to do that and then compare them after a couple days or however long you might want to do it, you might ask God, God, what do you see in the comparison of these two lists? That will be great freedom for you. It'll be very different than you looking at the list and saying, now what does this mean? How am I going to assess this? Because you may just think, boy, this other list needs to be a lot longer, or whatever it may be. But what does God think about that? And as you begin to catch that, and you begin to catch his love for you, you begin to catch how much he wants to pour his blessing on you, you begin to become empowered to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. I think that's really excellent. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars for a theological degree. You still might not be able to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God after all of that content. It really takes you listening to what he's telling you and stepping out in it. Two lists like this might put you in the place where you can hear a little more clearly how God is blessing your life and want you to step forward. Okay, let's stand before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all glory that you have called us to extend your kingdom. We ask that you would fill us with your ability to do it, to see where you are leading us, to take the steps that you desire. We ask that you would draw us continually, day by day, into the position where our first desire is to work, pray, and give for the extension of your kingdom anywhere and everywhere. We ask that for the glory of your name. Amen.